Welcome back to Note to Self, a podcast documenting the ways the COVID-19 pandemic has changed us. It's been a while since our last episode. We received our guest recordings a few weeks ago, but decided to postpone the release of this episode because we wanted to respect the important conversations about racism that are happening in our country. As you listen to this episode, we want to remind you that our guests recorded their messages before the most recent wave of protests. Even though racism and oppression aren't the explicit themes of this podcast, I think our guests have given us valuable lessons and encouragement as we fight prejudice in our society and in ourselves. They've explained how slowing down allows us to look honestly at our lives. They've taught us to value all members of society, especially those who may have been overlooked or undervalued in the past. They've told us that change is scary, but is so often good. Maybe this time has prepared us, in ways we didn't realize, for difficult conversations and often uncomfortable awareness of our own attitudes or privilege. Maybe this upheaval of everything normal was the push we needed to recognize the failures of our systems. This week, we'll hear from two pastors working on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and from a married couple in Dallas. Here's Taylor, Kareem, Joel, and Deborah.
I had been screening most of my calls, but I took this one. I knew her well, and she was having a rough time. She worked in essential services here in New York City, and in her department, she had already lost 14 people to the coronavirus. The person that worked next to her in the office had already died. And she was the one who had to process all their papers, life insurance, death certificates, and all of those things. And she wasn't handling things very well. And this is one of the things that I have seen as a pastor here in New York City these last few months. It's isolation grief. Grief at the loss of possibilities, jobs, and people. And we all grieve in different ways. So as a person here in New York City, in Lower Manhattan, I've been having a lot of time to think. After the first few weeks, usually I'm out on the street working and doing things, but I had to tell people that if they had underlying conditions or a certain age group, they need to step back. And that included myself. And here's what I've learned. I think everybody works to live a story in their life, and I realized that the story I was living was a knight out there fighting the dragons of poverty and self-destruction and all of those kind of things. But now I'm in my apartment, shelter in place, and I feel like the story I'm living out is the princess waiting in the tower for someone to rescue them. And that has been very difficult for me. And I think whenever you grow, you learn something new, you have to unlearn something else. And I'm unlearning trying to be the warrior, and I'm learning to be more receptive. Of course, we all know that's not easy. From Jesus to the desert mothers and fathers to the monastic tradition, we know that we may think we're quiet and alone. We can have a closeness to God, but we often come face to face with our personal demons. And that has been a learning experience. Now, what I have learned is this. You see the most of life through the smallest windows. And here's what I mean by that. I love nature. I love being among the woods or trees, but being in Lower Manhattan, shelter in place, we have no car, we're not to use public transportation, there's no large parks in this area, but I have received so much joy from one tree, one Japanese maple that grows out of a little tiny square in the cement right behind our tenement building. Every morning, I can look out the window and see that tree. And I feel like I've learned something about trees that I never would have known if I'd been in 10,000 trees. And I've gotten so much pleasure from that one tree. The Bible talks about that in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. It says, "Do not despise the day of small things." After this is over, I want to remember to appreciate the small things.
This is Kareem speaking into his phone with a note to self. It's a tough time for everyone. It's a tough time for me too. And I'm trying to learn about giving thanks and being thankful. As I thought about what we're all going through, for me, the T for thanks is team, is realizing I'm limited now, what I can and cannot do, and I need to rely on others. My wife's been doing most of the grocery shopping. I used to love going to the store and just picking up what I need, but now she's trying to protect me from catching the illness because of my compromised health. So appreciating learning how to rely on the team. The H is about honoring other people who can do things that I can't do. And we've seen that even in feeding people, activities I used to be directly involved in, we have other people leading them and honoring others, allowing them to take the lead. For me, the A is appreciation. I think we all are experiencing a loss and are learning to appreciate things that we took for granted before. I know just going outside the house, I have a greater appreciation. I want to hold on to that sense of appreciation. The N in thanks for me is new ways. I guess it's realizing that we always have to find new ways to deal with new circumstances. This is new for all of us, but life is always giving us curveballs, and learning how to approach things in new ways, I think, is really important. I'm trying to learn that in how we do serving the community, just doing that in new ways, and seeing young people take the lead and taking a step back, and even myself, how I communicate to people, how we relate to the world. It's learning new ways. The K in thanks for me is kind. Kindness works in every season, even in this challenging time, learning how to be kind to everyone we encounter. You never know how this pandemic or any situation is affecting a person, but kindness is a great equalizer in it always works. So trying to remember that in the moment, to be kind. And last in the word thanks is S, serve. And I'm learning that we can still serve people even though we can't gather physically with people. It's just amazing how isolated we can feel, how isolated I feel. But if someone reaches out to me with a phone call, or if I am brave enough to do the same and reach out to others just with a phone call or a text, it seems that we are connected. Even though not physically, we are together. So that's my note to self about where I am now, and to my post-quarantine self. Take this note to heart, Kareem. It will serve you well.
So 3 years ago, I moved into a community house. For the past at least 7 months, there have been seven of us, seven adults, living in a house together. That includes my wife, Deborah, my daughter, Grace, my adopted daughter, Kayla, her brother, LaRon, and then two other roommates, Rachel and Randolph. And so the seven of us, and now eight with baby Theo, live together. And so it's been really nice when most of the world is in isolation and just kind of stuck with their family of origin and family units, it's been nice to live in a house with other people. I could have envisioned that it would have gone horribly wrong, that the stresses and things that we feel together might have really erupted in some way. But the last 8 weeks have been quite amazing. We've really had some breakthroughs in relationship. Staying at home has given us some time to really, explore some issues together that have been really good. Some of our pet peeves and stresses, and it's just giving us a chance to really, trigger each other and set each other off, but then to really be able to have the time to work through it. So life in community has been something that's just been really a joy to me and just something that I feel like everybody should consider, because I think that we have a housing shortage in our city and in our nation, and so the joys of living with other people really far outweigh any kind of the downsides. Sure, we share bathrooms. Sure, we get on each other's nerves sometimes about plates and stuff in the sink, but overwhelmingly the positives of living with other people have been amazing. I think the other people that I live with are being changed by the experience, but I'm 100% certain that I'm being changed and challenged and growing by living with other people. Another thing that's been fun and interesting about quarantine is just I've been enjoying some of the simple joys. I have created a couple of art projects. I did a lino cut. Yesterday, I finished my coronavirus pinata, which seemed completely gratuitous. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but I decided I wanted to play with paper mache and paint and do something. So I have a 2-foot in diameter coronavirus pinata. So just these simple joys of cooking a meal, reading a book, I've enjoyed that about quarantine. We had a baby here at the house 3 weeks ago. And so Theodore Isaac Pulis came into the world in my bedroom. And so just being able to experience that in the midst of this coronavirus was an incredible blessing to hear his first cries here in the house, to see him looking at the lights on the ceiling in the middle of the night, or noticing a bird call and kind of pulling his head. I mean, just things like that are incredible joys of life. I think one thing that I have to say is that I feel incredibly, just saying that I feel like the worst of coronavirus has not impacted me and my household. I'm a school teacher. I still have a job. I've been teaching kids online. And so I get a paycheck. My daughter Grace was let go from her job at the local ice cream store, but then was hired back last week. One of my other roommates was, I can't say the words right now. I'm tired from having a newborn baby. But just, I don't feel like I've felt the full impact. So I've felt isolated from the real pain that's impacting the world. When I think about something like 30,000 people in the New York area have died of coronavirus, I mean, that is staggering. And I cannot believe what it would be like to live in a neighborhood where, and in a city where that's happened. But just saying that I feel blessed right now to just have I've enjoyed quarantine. And I recognize that I've not been impacted by the worst of it, losing a job, losing a loved one, being sick. So the simple joys really have carried me and made this time special. The last thing that I'll say is just I've felt more disempowered politically than ever before. Right now, I'm just really horrified by our federal and state leadership, just the lack of compassion, the real worship of money, it seems like, over people. I mean, again, I get the balance between the economics and public health and how that's a really tough thing. But many of our leaders, I just don't feel real compassion for the people that are sick and are dying and for the need to protect safety. So just feeling angered by our politics right now and really, really longing for something different.
For me, this quarantine will always be inextricably linked to the birth of my son. Theo was born on Sunday, April 19th, about a month after things started to lock down here in Dallas. I'd already begun slowing down, but his birth ushered me into an altogether different universe. I went from limiting outings outside the house to literally not leaving my bedroom for several days at a time. My world came to consist of two things: taking care of Theo and sleeping. It's been a strange experience, being isolated and away from the larger societal quarantine, but in retrospect, the timing has been a blessing. I was so exhausted after the birth that I needed time to retreat and rest. And now more than ever, I could do that without the social pressure to be out and about or to have visitors. There have been days where I forgot about COVID-19, if you can believe that. But the peace and gratitude that I feel now is a new development. In the weeks leading up to Theo's birth, I was plagued by anxiety. I'd planned on having a home birth, a decision that many people were concerned about 9 months ago, but it suddenly seemed like the best option under the circumstances. And yet, my mind kept going to worst-case scenarios. What if Theo comes early and I have to go to the hospital? What if I get the virus before he's born? What if he gets the virus? What if my mom gets sick and isn't able to be with me during labor? These questions haunted me, and I knew that I needed to work through them because giving birth without pain medication requires clarity of heart and mind. And I knew that holding on to these fears, even subconsciously, could cause me to stall out in labor and land me in the hospital, which is the last thing I wanted. One way that I work through my fears is through songwriting. So I set out to write a song for Theo. I wanted to communicate to him the tension I was feeling between wanting to keep him safe, but also needing to believe that everything would be okay. I didn't want him to enter the world feeling afraid. I wanted him to know that life is full of risk, but that we have a choice. We can let anxiety consume us, or we can make peace with the fact that we aren't in control, and trust that love is stronger than anything else we might come up against. We can cower and hide and hoard the little that we have, or we can freely give what we've been freely given, trusting that life is not a zero-sum game. The last verse of the song says this: "O Theodore, I don't know what's in store for you, but know that you're already loved. So don't be afraid to give your love away. There's more than enough." This was a reminder to me, more than anybody, that I don't want to live from a mindset of scarcity. There's more than enough. That's a mindset of abundance, and it's the place I want to live from. I'm fortunate to get to see what this looks like, to live it out practically, because my husband, Joel, embodies this mindset of abundance more than anyone else I know. When things started shutting down, I immediately started thinking about all the things we could do without. Haircuts, house cleaning, eating out. In my mind, these were all ways we could save money. I grew up in a household where frugality was highly valued. And while that has generally served me well in life, enabling me to live on a very meager income, it's also made me stingy in ways. So when Joel told me that, as long as we were still receiving our paychecks, he wanted to continue paying all the service providers in our lives, I thought he was being a little foolish. But another part of me knew that I wanted to grow into the kind of person who could see the world that way, who, in the midst of perceived scarcity, thinks about how to take care of those around me instead of how to build myself up unnecessarily. "Take care of people and they'll take care of you," he said. "Keep the money moving," by which he means don't hoard, don't be stingy. If money's coming in, send it back out. We are blessed to still have our jobs right now, and so it's our privilege to share what we have with those around us. And when I think about what I want to take back into the world with me after the dust settles and what I want to model for Theo, it's that generosity of heart and spirit that says, don't be afraid. There's more than enough to go around.
The COVID-19 pandemic has given us an opportunity to restructure our lifestyles and our communities. This painful, lonely, scary season is giving us a chance to cultivate empathy and awareness. As we continue the fight for racial justice, I hope we take these things with us. Normal is impossible right now. And I finally understand what a beautiful thing that is. Thanks for listening to Note to Self, reminders to our post-quarantine selves. This podcast is produced by Ben Coleman and hosted by me, Corey.